Welcome to the Cool Explorations podcast and radio program with your host, Tony Peters. I hope you'll enjoy today's segment. We would just go and keep doing our own thing, and that's not what we're called to do. We're called to follow God's will and to learn to pray and fellowship with other believers. And through that, we grow in our relationship with Christ. Prayer, I think, is just so key in all of that, just the constant communication with God, and then reading his scripture so that we're familiar with these things and they can come to mind when we need them and we can be reminded. And you mentioned the Psalms. I love the Psalms because they just, they are so uplifting, because David did not have an easy life. He may have become a king, but before he became a king, life was not easy. And even when he became a king, life was still not easy. And yet he found all this time to praise God and question God. He wasn't afraid to question God and be like, God, what are we doing here? Like, and then by the end of the psalm, he'll be praising God. And it's just like, it's amazing how many of the psalms start off with David or Solomon or Saul, like any of these different people that wrote the Psalms. So many times they start off with them just like questioning God and being like, oh, woe is me. But by the end, it's God is my rock. God is my salvation. Like, that is the example of how we need to be in our lives. Be like, you know what? Let's reshift our focus here. That's why I love Thanksgiving. Like, what are the blessings? Like, let's look at the blessings. And there was someone, was it Charles Stanley? I'm not sure. I think it might have been Charles Stanley, but this has been recommended by a few people. Just having a blessings book where you can just write down the different blessings that come your way to reshape your focus. And I think that again comes through in your book that you wrote, but also kind of ties into the verses that you sent me that are key verses for you. The first one being 1 Timothy 1:7. Can you explain a little bit about what that verse means and how it's been important to you?
Sure. So I'll read it here. I'm going to include the verse before and after just because it gives good context. So 1 Timothy 1:6-8 says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." So this is Paul talking to Timothy. "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and in self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." So I remember as a young kid, I was very timid, shy, had a lot of fears. And this verse really spoke to me. I kind of took it on as my life verse because I feel I was controlled by fear in a lot of areas of my life. Fear of man, fear of failure, fear of death, fear of disease, fear of my own sin, you know, just felt like there's a lot of areas where I was just being controlled by fear versus by the Lord. And so the knowledge and understanding and believing that the spirit that God has given me, has given us as believers, is not driven by fear. It's power and love and self-control or sound mind, which is in some other translations. But I love the context of this word. Just it's through that Timothy, Paul's encouraging Timothy to fan into flame and to use the gifts that God has given him so that he can be effective in the ministry. And so just, it comes back again to, I know we've talked about our identity, but our identity is just so important in believing who we are, knowing who we are, so that we can be effective in sharing that love with other people and being grounded, not in what we do, not in you know, our titles or whatever, but because we are valuable, priceless children of God, and it's out of that that we can bear the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And so, yeah, it's just, it's, I just feel like it's very foundational for my life and also in the work that I do, whether it be sweeping the floor or, you know, writing a book or whatever, it comes back to who do I believe I am and who has God told me I am.
Yeah. And that, figuring out our identity, that can be such a tough thing, to do, as our identity does change over the seasons, over the years. And, it's through those seasons and through those years that God really helps us to grow and mature in our faith, and in our day-to-day lives, preparing us so that we can get through life, because life is going to throw you challenges no matter who you are. It's going to throw you challenges, and it's in those challenges that we really learn who we are, and Christ has to be, of course, a central part of that identity when we're trying to figure that out. And again, he helps us through these struggles, and through these struggles is when we learn the most about ourselves. Just being like, okay, I handled it this way. I maybe shouldn't have handled it that way. Looking back on it, I should have done this. And it's those "I should have done this" moments that we're just like, okay, so in the future when this happens, I need to try and face it with this. And that's where talking to other believers, talking to your pastor, and those kind of people really do help you, because they can really help ground you and just be like, okay, let's look at this from a biblical perspective. Here's where you can actually areas you can grow in. I had that experience just recently here where I had to really, we had this reconciliation between himself and another believer, with the pastor orchestrating it. And, it was really great, because we both looked at, stepped back, and we were just like, okay, so we both, in these areas, this is where we were coming from, and this is areas where we maybe hurt the other person, through our actions, and that we didn't even realize at the time we're hurting them. And that was just a powerful moment of, again, growth, where it was just like, okay, I'm humble enough that I can realize I messed up. I can grow. And God really wants that humility. And when we take a look at Romans 8, there's 8:28 is one of one of those key verses that so many people bring up. And that it really does strike to that, to the whole book of Romans 8, especially anything with Paul, really is about humility. And I think that Paul speaks on humility so much because he had a lot of problems with pride, and brashness. And so it was an area he really understood, so he could speak on well. And it just speaks to the importance of this. So did you just maybe want to touch on Romans 8, and how that has been important to you, and what some key components of Romans 8 are?
Sure. So I mentioned earlier when I was talking about that year in Costa Rica was very formative for me. And Romans 8 was one of the chapters that I memorized during that time. And really just soaking in what it means to live by the Spirit. So, I mean, there's so many good, that chapter is just so packed. I mean, you could live on that chapter for weeks, but verse 6 says, "For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace." And our minds are just so powerful. I've been studying a lot about the mind and just how it affects our entire being, our physical and mental and emotional and, you know, everything, our well-being.
And there's so much we don't understand about our brain yet. It's
right. There's really, so much more.
Yeah.
It's incredible. It really is incredible how God made our brains. but just how much power it holds in changing our lives for the better, for the you know, worse. And so the intention of setting our minds on the spirit or on our flesh, I think naturally, if we're not being led by the spirit, we just naturally kind of, our minds can be lazy and we just let them go on whatever comes in, which is a lot of not good things,
yeah,
or just neutral things, versus like being intentional on setting our minds on the spirit and just how that really kind of, it sets the course for our day, for our moments, for our conversations, for our actions, and really for our whole lives. And so that's just been something that I have had to be very intentional. I think I am someone who tends to just have a very busy mind. When my husband and I first got married, it was so funny. I think this is natural for men and women to have very, well, I mean, everyone's different, but when he told me like, oh, a lot of times I just don't think about anything, it's like, what? You actually don't think about something sometimes? It was like, I thought he was lying. I was like, that is impossible. Because I'm constantly thinking about something, which I'm not saying is good. But there's a way that we all have different ways in which we have to kind of train our minds to in a certain direction. And so anyways, that's just something that has been a process. And then another part of that chapter is verses 16 and 17, which is kind of similar to the 2 Timothy verse where it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. So again, just the idea of who we are, our identity, our inheritance, like what is coming to us as children of God. It's beyond what we could hope or imagine. But then also this understanding that we also will be suffering with him. We also will live lives that are probably more difficult than a non-Christian in a lot of ways, because we are making choices, because the enemy does not want us to make good choices, to live lives that are effective. And I think that's often a misconception that believers have, is like, oh, I should, when I become a Christian, things should go great. Like, I'm going to have a great, easy life and God's going to work everything out. And God does bless us. I'm not saying that, but it's a hard walk. And it's very clear from the Bible that we are going to have temptations, that we're going to have tests, that we're going to have struggles, that there's going to be persecutions, that there's going to be difficulties and sufferings that we are going to walk through. And so, yeah, that we should walk in knowing that and expecting it, instead of when suffering comes, expect like being so surprised, like, what is happening to me? Why is this happening? You know? And then of course the end of the chapter is just all about God's just overwhelming love for us, and how nothing can separate us from his love, and how the Spirit and Jesus are interceding for us, which I just think is such a beautiful picture and thing that we need to remember, is that even at this moment, like, Jesus is interceding for us and we are not alone. And the Spirit is teaching us how to pray and how to live. And so I could go on, but I'll leave it there because it's just so rich.
Yeah. And it is a very important chapter in the Bible. There's a reason why so many people, when I ask them for key verses, a lot of them come from Romans 8, especially 8:28. It's just, there's, like you say, that there's so much to unpack in that. And Paul is just so deep in the way that he looks at things. He just, mm-hmm. he has this philosopher's brain where he just, like, you can tell he studies, he knows the stuff. He does, if he doesn't know about something, he wants to know about it. When he does know about something, he wants to share it. He gets so excited and passionate about these things. He just wants to share it. And so when the Lord does confront him about the way he was persecuting Christians, it was just this this moment afterwards where it's like, well, now that I found this new thing, I found Jesus Christ, this is true. I have to share it with people. No matter the consequences, I have to share it with people. I'm just so excited about it. And I think that that's an example of how we need to live our lives. We just need to be so excited and passionate. And then when those hard times come, because we already have that excitement, that passion, yes, it can really hit hard when we hit those struggles and those lows, because after a high with Christ, there's going to be the valley. There's going to be those areas you walk through where it's going to be like, okay, I feel like I'm in darkness. But those high moments where you've studied, you understand the scripture, and you've gotten to be excited and passionate, they help you get through these things, because you can be like, okay, I understand now. I'm looking for that moment where I can get out of this valley. And I know because of the faith that I've developed through studying and understanding, I can get through this valley. God can get me through to the other side. So I can reach the top of the summit, and I can be like, yes, I'm back. God has brought me back here. And so I think that Paul has so many of those moments in his, where sometimes his excitement and fervor gets him into real trouble in scriptures. and his brashness, because he could be very brash. But it just shows that even Paul struggled with some of the areas that we struggle with. And so many that the disciples did, and the apostles afterwards, like, it just, they all had their struggles, and Christ called them out for so many of them during when he was with them, especially about faith, those "ye have little faith" moments, as we discussed in the last podcast, "ye have little faith" moments, where he's like, okay, like, you've been with me all this time, how do you not understand and grasp? Like, he had to have been like hitting his head on the wall sometimes, just being like, being like, why do you not understand this? I've gone over this before. Like, and that's how it is when we're all walking. It's why we're children of God, because we all are still growing. We have to mature, and the summit that we are seeking is going to be heaven. And like you say, it's going to be something that none of us can imagine. We can't fathom what heaven is going to be like, and the amazing blessings that we have coming. And that's from God's love and his mercy and his grace, because we don't deserve to be there. But he has a place there for us, and he wants us to share his word with other people so that other people may experience that same thing, and they can get relief in their times of suffering by knowing that there is a God that loves them. And sometimes that's breaking down the barriers of that I am my own God, that everybody is trained these days to think that you are your own God. Yeah. And that's a tough barrier to get around. How can Christians take the teachings of Paul, where he's speaking in 1 Timothy 7 and Romans 8 and so many other sections, how can they take and apply those verses and those sections to their own lives, to help enrich their relationship with Christ?
So I think there's probably lots of ways to do this. For me, I have found it so effective to memorize scripture, because I have found that it's often in moments when I'm not sitting down to read my Bible that I really need it. It's in moments, you know, when I'm in the middle of the night, or when I'm driving, or when I'm out doing something, and God will speak to me through these verses that I have memorized. And also just meditating, learning to just meditate on verses, really go deep with them, because it's easy to just read, and unless we're like, just, we have to have open hearts too, right, while we read. I'm sure we've all done this, where we've read read scripture 100 times, and then you read it, and then all of a sudden the Spirit will just speak something to your heart. And it's just like, whoa, you know, and it's just, it's so cool when God does that. So having that open heart, that receptive heart, but also storing up the word in our hearts so that God and the Holy Spirit can speak to us throughout our days, throughout our nights, and those moments when we really need it. And also just making it very personal, making it very, putting your name in the scripture, saying me or I, or making it declaring the truth over your own situation, over yourself, and really taking it as your own, I think is also something that we need to do instead of seeing it more as like, oh, that's the truth. That's nice. You know, that that's great. But to make it more personal and to really take hold of it and believing it, it takes that marinating kind of like sitting on it, listening, you know, just trying to take it in a lot of different ways. The more that we can get the truth implanted in our hearts, the more it's going to stick, and the more that we can fight off the lies and the distractions and so much untruth that is in the world, you know, so many other voices that come at us. So yeah, those are some of the ways that I've found it effective.
Yeah. And putting yourself into those, the scriptures can be very, very helpful for sure. Because it does help internalize it and personalize it. So you can be like, yeah, okay, this I can definitely relate to. This it applies to me so much. And I love just in the scriptures, you see just all these people who are imperfect. That's what I love. Like these imperfect people, because it just reminds you, I'm so imperfect. And if God can use these imperfect people and bless their lives and bless other people through them, then he can do the same with me, another imperfect human being. And that personal relationship, again, is something that we can really take away from it. Because right from the beginning, God shows us that our lives with him are supposed to be personal. He walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. When they sinned, he sought them out in the garden. And it's just like you see right from the beginning, there's this personal connection. He wants a personal relationship with us. He doesn't just want it to be like, oh yeah, I believe in Christ. No, he wants it to be like, I believe in Christ. Like, you're declaring it. That's what he wants. I posted on Facebook and Twitter the other day, like, Jesus Christ is King. Proclaim it. Like, this is something that should be something that, because it's so personal to us, we should just be so filled with the Holy Spirit that we should be excited. We can't help but to share it. And we're so filled with the love of God. We feel it in every part of us. And that should create such an excitement that we're just like, I want to share it with other people. I want other people to experience this love, this peace, and the joy that I've experienced. I want them to feel God's grace and his mercy that came through the cross and the forgiveness, and that he can defeat death. He rose again. Mm-hmm. And as a result, we follow a living Savior. We don't follow a prophet who's dead. We follow a living Savior. And that's a key component of all of it, that we're just like, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's again, goes to love and power. Our God is powerful. And if he's powerful, he can get us through anything. And I think that's such a key component in so much of the scripture is God's power. And yet he, despite being so powerful, still loves us and has time for us. And he wants to hear from us. So love what you were saying there. I do want to give you a bit of a chance to kind of shout your book out a little bit. Where can we find your book? online? Where can we find you online? And do you plan to write more books going forward?
Sure, I'll start at the beginning. So you can get the book at Amazon. There's Kindle and paperback. And then also my website is karismeyer.com. It's my first and last name. And my blog is on there, as well as the book information and some other the information you can see. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook. And as far as writing more books, I'm continuing to write for my blog, and I also do some freelance writing for some other nonprofit organizations. But I kind of have a feeling there might be another book out there. So I'm just following the Lord, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And that's a good answer, because we do never really know what God has in store for us. And you know, he calls us to many different fields. So in your own personal life, is there a specific direction that you feel God is leading you into? I know it's a big question, but is there any inkling that you might have of where he's leading you?
Well, we are in a very, kind of a transitional time right now. My husband, next year will be 20 years in the military. And so we've been praying for a while now about where God, well, whether we're going to stay in or get out or do something else. And it's interesting. We've been praying this for 4 years now, that God would give us clarity, and it's not become clear yet. So what we've really felt God telling us in this time is just to be fully present and, you know, all in wherever we are. And so that's just what I've really been trying to practice, is just be fully in the moment and take the opportunities that God sends. And sometimes they're unexpected, and sometimes it's not in our agenda or plan. And so we have to like let go of what I had scheduled and kind of do what God brings. And he does bring things when we ask for them, opportunities to reach out to people. And so we've really been focusing on our neighborhood and just some opportunities that we've had with people who've come into our lives recently. So
yeah, and with the military, a lot of times that's not in your control. It's you're moving.
Yeah.
You've now been deployed here. Pack up your stuff.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
I know that can be a very, very tough life, and I know that can really wear on you. So again, I thank you guys for your service and your willingness to serve the country. It's a really I think fulfilling career, even though I know it can be so tough on the family as well as on his own personal mind. So I do pray that God will keep you guys safe and keep him safe as he's out there, and keep his mind safe, as I know PTSD is a real struggle that vets deal with. I deal with it myself, so I know it can be a real struggle. But thanks for coming on and sharing with us today. It's been such a blessing. I look forward to seeing more from you.
All right. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thank you for listening to the Cool Explorations podcast and radio program. I hope that you've enjoyed today's segment, and I hope that you'll consider supporting us at Cool Explorations on Patreon, as well as you can shoot me an email at tpeters745@gmail.com if you'd like to support in other ways other than Patreon.